Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, episode 24. Welcome to this episode of the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. So, what do you want to accomplish in your life? When I was younger, a major priority in my life was to become rich and famous. And I knew in order to become rich and famous and successful, I needed to write a plan, a business plan. You know, you read all the business books and they all say you have to write a business plan. Well, I wrote about 10 business plans and life plans before I ever completed one. And as I matured and my family grew, my priorities changed and becoming rich and famous wasn't so important anymore. Today, my definition of success is contentment, to be happy. So, what do you want your life to be? Who do you want to be? The E-Myth Revisited book that I just recently wrote a review about in this week's blog post. It's E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. In that book, he uses an exercise to determine what is truly important in our lives and what we really want our lives to become. And so he suggests that you imagine your funeral. Yes, the day you die and everyone is gathered around, all your family and friends. And imagine what they'd be saying about you at that event. So what do you want them to be saying about you? And that really is what your life plan should be about. It's what you want others to think about when you are gone. What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to leave when you're no longer here? So, and creating a life plan is how you're going to get there. Today on the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, I'm going to talk about how to create your life plan. And I'm going to walk you through my very own business plan. The plan that I developed back in 2006 for Five Cat Studio. Since 2006, my plans have evolved pretty significantly, and my current plan looks much different than what I'm going to share with you today. But back in 2006, that was the year I enrolled in the local business academy, and I learned the things that I didn't know that I didn't know. And that was also the year that everything changed for Five Cat Studio. And this plan that I'm going to share with you today is the reason for that change. So stick with me and we'll get right into it. But before we get into today's topic, I want to just give you a very quick reminder about two important issues happening right now. The first is the Entrepreneur Architect Business Trends Survey. I've been talking about it for the last 2 weeks. It runs until April 4th, so that'll be 4 weeks of the survey. My goal is 1,000 responses. I'm around 500. I'm not sure I'm going to hit 1,000, but I would really, really love your help to try to hit my target of 1,000 responses. If you haven't yet responded and contributed to the Entrepreneur Architect Business Trends Survey, it takes only 10 minutes. It asks very simple yes-no questions. And if you do it, I'll share the results with you so you'll know the answers to the questions that I'm asking as well. So you can go to entrearchitect.com/survey and you can take that survey for me. And also, please share it with everybody you know. Share it on Facebook and Twitter and put it on your webpage. Everybody that you know that's an architect or a designer in architecture, they're all welcome. Domestic, international, every architect that listens to the Entrepreneur Architect or may listen to the Entrepreneur Architect is welcome to take that survey. So please spread the word. And the second thing, real quick, is the Architecture Business Plan competition that I'm a jury member for. It's being run by the Charette Venture Group, and the winner will have a trip to Chicago, courtesy of Charette Venture Group, and the winner gets $10,000. And there's some other prizes as well. So go to architectbusinessplancompetition.com, and you'll have more details there on how to enter. So let's get right into this week's topic, business plans. And basically, life plans, and really, what I'm going to share is my business plan, but I'm going to give you an outline for your life plan. And really, your life plan starts with your dreams. So you want to think about what is it that you want your life to become? You want to dream about it. So if you had unlimited funds, what would you be doing? If money wasn't an issue, what would you create? I want you to write that down. It doesn't need to be a long, giant narrative. It just needs to be a couple sentences. What are the things that you want your life to be? And those are your dreams. The next thing is your vision. And visions basically are dreams that have more clarity. And they have more definition and more detail. What I like to do, and I'm going to get into my business plan now. This is the first part of my business plan back in 2006. This is not my current business plan, but this is the business plan back in 2006 that I wrote for Five Cat Studio. And it started with a vision narrative. And as creatives, the vision narrative is a lot of fun. It could be as short or as long as you want. And the idea is that you create a written narrative describing what you want your life to be. I have about 3 or 4 pages of my vision narrative. It doesn't need to be that long. But once you get into it, you'll find that you could get carried away with it. Because really what you want is you want to talk about what your dreams are, what you want your life to be, and write it in detail. My vision narrative, I wrote it as a 15-year vision narrative. And it starts with a little intro that says, the following is written as a creative visionary statement of what Five Cat Studio could become if we had no limits. It is written as a stream of consciousness and should be read as if it was a state of the business report for the year 2021. And remember, it was written back in 2006. So, and what I did is I went through and I talked about how I wanted to provide a single source for architecture, for residential architecture, interior design, landscape architecture, construction, and property management. And I wanted to base it on high trust customer service and build a brand, the Five Cat Studio brand, that defined fine residential design and construction in the tri-state region, the New York tri-state region. And so that's how I started it. That's what I wanted it to be. And much of that carried on through today. I never executed the single source. I decided that it wasn't the direction that we wanted to go. But building the brand of Five Cat Studio is something that was a high priority, and we did that and succeeded in that. The next part of the vision narrative that we had was we wanted to create regional showrooms that were located in affluent communities such as Chappaqua, where I live, in Bedford, Scarsdale, New Cane, and Greenwich. Some of those towns you may have heard of, you may not have, but those are communities north of New York City, north of Manhattan, and it's where many of the executives and the people that have quite a bit of money live. And so that's where we wanted to work, because the work that we wanted to do is very high-end, very detailed-oriented architecture. And then I got into some specifics. The company earns, and remember, this is a written as if it was a business, state of the business document from 2021. So I'm looking into the future, and I'm writing it as if it was the present. And so the company earns a gross revenue in excess of $20 million per year. So that's what I imagined in 15 years we would be doing. Each location provides a, quote, local firm presence in each community and functions as a meeting facility, a design showroom, and a retail boutique, selling items such as plumbing fixtures, lighting, furniture, and accessories. The showrooms are the physical face of Five Cat Studio. So I wanted to create sort of these retail outlets that were located in, you know, one in each of these communities that would become the face of Five Cat Studio, and it would kind of build the brand around design and architecture, and the architecture would be part of that. And then I got into the design, development, and production occur in a single central located studio. So I wanted to have a hub. I wanted to have a hub where all the architecture happened. And then the sales and the client meetings would happen in these retail spaces. At one time, I imagined that this would could also happen in the high-end shopping malls, that we would have a shopping mall store, and those things would happen. It was a dream of mine when I was younger that would be the way we would do it. Even before I even went to architecture school, that was an idea that I had, that I think today would still work. I think all of these ideas would still work. It's just my priorities changed, and so I never executed a lot of this. Then I got into every residential project is designed and developed and built by Five Cat Studio. Typical project investments range from $300,000 to $1 million. Five Cat Studio offers premium service in projects in excess of $1 million. So I would have a separate premium service for projects over $1 million. And construction services are performed in-house by construction crews that were employed by Five Cat Studio. So that was the plan. And then I had another section in it. And remember, this is a dream. This is a vision narrative. This is, I'm just letting this all out and having a lot of fun with it. And I'm not worried about money or whether it's realistic. It's just, it's the first step in getting your ideas down on paper. And so that's what this exercise is about. It's about getting all of your ideas, no matter how crazy they may be, down on paper. And it gets you started. It builds momentum for the rest of your plan. The next section talks about something that I called Five Cat Diamonds. And they were one-of-a-kind custom homes designed and built with the world's finest materials and detailed to perfection. Diamonds are small but precious, it says. Each one is unique and crafted with perfection. Five Cat Diamonds are intended to be used as vacation homes or weekend getaways. Diamonds are sold through an exclusive network of elite buyers. So that was something that we wanted to do. And that's actually something that we still have in our plans. We still plan on building these high-end small homes. That's a goal that we have for the current Five Cat Studio. And I'm going to document that on the podcast and through the blog as we do that. We're working right now on building our debt zero business. And so that's the first step towards that. I just recently did a podcast, the episode 23 is the build a debt zero business. So if you want to listen to that, you can go to entrearchitect.com/episode23. But that's one of our goals still. Our goals are still to build our own homes and develop our own projects without clients. And then the next step in our vision narrative was Five Cat certified pre-owned homes. So, and I have in parentheses needs a better name. So I know that's a needs a better name, but the idea was that similar to, you know, a car companies that sell, you know, cars as certified pre-owned vehicles, we would do something similar where we would buy existing homes and we would rehabilitate them and we would update them and we'd design them to have a signature Five Cat style. So when you see them right away, you'd know that they're Five Cat projects, and they would be certified using a 100-point checklist, ensuring that each home is a top quality. And that's something that would, you know, we would build the brand around and we would be able to market using that. And we would call them Five Cat Homes, and they'd be backed by a 5-year unconditional warranty. So people would buy them much like, you know, a vehicle. They would buy this house without any worry. They would know that if anything went wrong with the house, that we would cover it. Whether that's realistic or not, I don't know. It doesn't need to be in this exercise. Then I get into built upon a reputation of superior customer service and the highest standards of excellence, Five Cat Studio is recognized as the industry leader in custom residential and construction, a residential design and construction. The Five Cat Studio brand represents, quote, living well. And so that's something that we did work on, and that's something that we developed, and that is, we don't use the living well slogan anymore, but that's one of the ways we built the Five Cat brand on living well. And then I have a definition of what living well is. It says living well is, number one, home. A home is well built with care and attention to every detail, inside and out. A home is planned with intention, is safe and healthy. A home is where people grow and memories are made. Every house is not necessarily a home. A home is living well. And then number two is work. A healthy workplace encourages pride, growth, friendship, trust, respect, and support. Working with people you trust toward a common goal and contributing to society in a positive way is living well. So now I'm sort of talking about how the culture was going to be built, you know, within the company. Then the third one was health. Physical, emotional, and spiritual healthy people are happy. Happiness is living well. Number four is courage. To achieve all that is possible, you must attempt the impossible. To be all that you can be, you must dream of being more. That's a quote that I picked up somewhere around fourth or fifth grade on one of those little cardboard signs in my classroom that never left my brain. And I live by that to this day. And it says, reaching for your dreams is living well. Number five and the final one was giving back. Living well is not only about personal growth and development. It's about helping others to live well too, providing hope where there is despair, and supporting those less fortunate is living well. So it sort of starts creating an outline and a structure on how the rest of the plan was going to go. Then we got into another thing that is something that we do still plan on doing. It's a passion of ours is giving back. And it says the success of Five Cat Studio has allowed the company to give back in many ways. And remember, we're talking about a $20 million company that's we're talking about here. In addition to providing exceptionally well-built custom homes to customers with superior satisfaction and providing employees with an extraordinary work environment, Five Cat Studio has worked hard to provide hope and support for many animals in need. And then I talk about in 2007, Five Cat Studio, so this was a year later after I wrote this, that I was imagining that a year from when I wrote this back in 2007, still the future back then, past now, obviously. In 2007, Five Cat Studio established the Amazing Grace Animal Foundation, Animal Rescue Foundation, also known as AGARF, A-G-A-R-F. Amazing Grace was actually one of our dogs that it was a rescued Rottweiler that we fell in love with, and she's passed now. And we were going to name the Animal Rescue Foundation after Amazing Grace. We may still do that. The foundation is definitely still part of our plans, and animal rescue is part of our life, so that's certainly part of what we do today. And I get into AGARF is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the rescue of unwanted, mishandled, abused, or neglected dogs, specializing in large, quote, misunderstood breeds, such as Rottweilers and American Staffordshire Terriers. The foundation provides financial and educational support to local organizations with parallel missions. Five Cat Studio provides continuing support to the foundation. So we would build this Five Cat Studio, this $20 million company. And one of the things that we would do is we would support this foundation with our profits. And we would help large breeds such as Rottweilers and Pit Bulls, the dogs that get put into shelters and most of them don't ever get out. We would take them and we would rehabilitate them and we would make them good citizens and we would adopt them back out. And for the dogs that don't have a place that can't be rehabilitated, we would have a facility that would allow those dogs to go and have a home and have a life for the rest of their lives. And that's something we still plan on doing. And then I get into the details of how that the Animal Rescue Center, where we would have this facility, and I describe that in some detail. Then I get into, in 2008, Five Cat Studio began providing architectural and construction services to not-for-profit organizations dedicated to supporting animal rescue and rehabilitation. Animal-centric rehabilitation and care facilities have been designed and built throughout the United States. So we would design and consult for animal rescue facilities. And that's also something that we still have in our plan, that we would create this foundation for our own foundation, or for this facility for our own foundation. And in doing that, we would learn and know what to do and consult other animal-centric rehabilitation centers on how to build and design facilities for dogs and cats. So that's the vision narrative, the 15-year vision narrative. I encourage you to do that first and have some fun with it and don't set any limits and just go for it. And what I'm going to do next is get into how this vision narrative can become your vision statement. So I'll be right back with that. I'm going to go get a drink of water. Okay, so I'm back. The next thing on my business plan back in 2006 is the unifying philosophy statement. And so that's sort of a one-liner, really short, that kind of talks about the philosophy of your company. And that's certainly optional. Most business plans don't have something like that, but that's something that we did, that we wanted to create philosophy statement that everybody in the company can kind of rally around and understand what we're all about. And ours was, back in 2006, was live well. And that, you know, that's not, that the idea behind that was, you know, not only are we designing great homes that allow our clients to live well, but it also was an idea that we would build a company, a great and enduring company, that would allow our employees to live well, and in turn would allow us to live well. And so that statement was very important to all of us. The philosophy behind that still stands to this day. We just don't use the live well statement anymore. The next step is the vision statement, which most business plans have, is a vision statement. And our vision statement was enrich the lives of every client, every employee, and those less fortunate by building a great and enduring company dedicated to innovative home design and superior customer experience. I know Bob Borson right now is rolling his eyes. He wrote a whole blog post on vision statements and mission statements, and that right there is a definition of what he said was not what not to do. The idea behind a vision statement is basically a way of describing what your vision for the company is. It's different from a mission statement. A mission statement is a little more action oriented. A vision statement is sort of the dream with details. And so that was our dream with details back in 2006. The next step is the mission statement. And our mission statement back in 2006 was establish Five Cat Studio as the premier brand of fine residential design and construction services in the tri-state region while maintaining our five guiding principles. And so that was our mission, was to become this premier brand in the tri-state region. But by maintaining these principles. Number one, cultivate the enthusiastic satisfaction of every client by providing superior service and ensuring a remarkably positive experience before, during, and after every project. Number two, apply the highest standards of excellence to the design, development, and construction of every project. Number three, provide an extraordinary work environment and encourage professional and personal growth for every employee. Number four, contribute positively to our community and provide hope and support to those less fortunate. Number five, recognize that profitability is essential to the success of the four guiding principles above. So back in 2006, I was preaching the word of profitability. So it's number five of our five guiding principles back in 2006. That mission statement is pretty close to still what we're running our company on today. Those guiding principles are certainly still valid for Five Cat Studio. Then the next step in the business plan is the culture statement. Again, this is an optional thing that I sort of created. I've seen other business plans have this, but this is sort of a way for us to encourage the culture within our studio. Today, with our virtual studio, the culture is a very different dynamic, but this was based on having a studio full of people and a company that was, you know, working from retail spaces with this hub of a central studio. And Five Cat Studio's foundation of values was kindness. And then it says, be kind even when others are not. So this is the culture that we want to build. And this is the culture that we really do still have today and we live by. Honesty, always tell the truth and communicate with clarity. Integrity, say what you mean, do what you promise, when you promise, every time. Respect, treat all people as you would want to be treated. Confidence, know your subject, speak and act with confidence. Knowledge, learn something new every day and then teach it to someone else. Family, keep your priorities in focus. For us, our family is our top priority. Innovation, constantly look for the better way. And creativity, think out of the box. So that's our culture statement. That's what we wanted our employees, and today we still live by that. That's what we want our culture to be. And so culture is something that sort of happens by the collecting, you know, having the right people in the right places. But if you create this structure and encourage people to live by these foundation of values, the culture can become something pretty amazing. The next thing is strategies. Strategies. Number four. Number one strategy. So you get into strategies on how you can do these things. The number one strategy was focus efforts of the firm on the target market of residential additions and alterations projects ranging in construction costs between $300,000 and $500,000. So now these are strategies on how we're going to go from a, So from the unifying philosophy statement through the vision statement, through the mission statement, these are no longer 20 years from now. This is 2006. This is the vision statement is really something, is just an exercise to kind of get you to this point. But this is the draft business plan that I wrote in 2006. First, this is the first draft, and this had gone through many, many iterations after this. But from the philosophy statement through the vision statement, mission statement, those were actually what we wrote for our company in 2006, a culture statement. Those are all right up. So these strategies were strategies on how do we accomplish the mission. That's really the goal, is accomplish the mission. And these were the strategies that we would use to accomplish the mission. So strategy number one, focus efforts of the firm on a target market of residential additions and alterations ranging in construction costs between $300,000 and $500,000. So we established a target market. Very, very critical point in our company's history. Before this plan, we had no target market. We took whatever we could get. That target market is one of the things that took our firm from a nobody to a leading company in the region. just knowing who we were and what we wanted to do and the strategy on how we were going to get there. So we were going to focus our efforts on that target market. Number two, eliminate multi-point client contact and provide a single source throughout the design and construction process. Guide and direct the entire design and construction process to ensure an enhanced client experience. So that was a strategy that we were going to use to build this company that would have this single source contact. So we would eliminate multi-point client contact. So they wouldn't have to hire an architect and a construction manager and an interior designer and a landscape designer. That our plan at the time was to have one person that they would meet with, and they would guide the whole project from the beginning to the end. Number three, educate our clients so that they can better understand the process and we can better manage their expectations. We still do that today. Number four, develop internal systems. There you go, systems. If you read last week's post or this week's post about the E-Myth Revisited, it's all about building systems. Get that book and read it. Develop internal systems to provide consistent, predictable, and profitable service for each and every project. It's a key to success, to be consistent, predictable, and profitable. Number five, cross-market the services of Five Cat Studio and the efforts of the Amazing Grace Animal Rescue Foundation. And so we would build Five Cat Studio with the Amazing Grace Foundation, and we would build the Amazing Grace Foundation using Five Cat Studio. That was a strategy. So then we get into goals and objectives. We're going to take a quick drink. Doing a lot of talking tonight. Okay, goals and objectives, number one. So now we're getting into specifics. You know, the strategies are sort of broad strategies. Goals and objectives are much more specific. You want to say what you want to do and when do you want to do it. Goals without dates are dreams. They don't exist if they don't have deadlines. So number one, obtain contracts for two new target market projects by the end of quarter four, 2006. So this was written in 2006. I'm getting right into it with saying my first goal is to get two new target market projects in the fourth quarter of 2006. Increase annual revenues to $500,000, 28% increase from 2006 by the end of Q4 2007. So our goal was to reach a $500,000 annual revenue by the end of Q4 2007. So that was a year and some change after we wrote this this plan, and it was a 28% increase. The $500,000 goal. Increase profit 10% by the end of Q4 2007. So increase your annual revenues to 500, and then increase our profit of those revenues through those revenues by 10% by that same time, by Q4 2007. Number four, the fourth goal, grow annual revenue to $550,000, 10% by the end of Q4 2008. So in 2 years, we wanted to go from 500 to 550, and then increase profit to 15% by the end of Q4 2008. And then number six, determine the viability of establishing a charity foundation by the end of Q2 2007. So again, we were hoping to start that foundation a year after we wrote this plan. That's still part of our plan. We've decided to focus on Five Cat Studio and build the brand of Five Cat Studio before we do that foundation. So the plan has changed and evolved, and that's still in it, and we still plan on doing that. Okay, after goals and objectives, the next big piece, the next heading is market action plans. So now you have, let's go back real quick. We have strategies, kind of broad-based. So we're funneling down into the very specifics. Strategies are sort of broad-based. How are you going to do it? Goals and objectives are getting more specific. Here's what we're going to do and when we're going to do it by. Marketing action plans. Now we're going to get into very specific things. What are we going to physically do? What actions are we going to take? And I break this up into lead generation and what's the other one? The other one is lead conversion. So I break it up, some action plans on how I'm going to generate more leads, more projects? How am I going to get more projects to ring the phone and give me the opportunity to turn them into conversions and actually get contracts? So the first section is lead generation. And then I have number one, and I get specific, again, very specific. Mark LePage will revise the website, fivecat.com, to focus on current target market and launch by the end of Q4 2006. So when I wrote the plan, I assigned myself the job to revise the website at fivecat.com, which was a completely different website than it is today, to focus on a target market. At the time, we had everything on there. We had our restaurants that we had designed and our salons that we had designed and the house additions that we designed and the target market projects that we had designed. So my plan and what I did by the end of Q4 2006 is to redesign the website so it only focused on my target market. I loved the projects that we had done as restaurants and the other things that we did, but our strategy was to focus in on a very specific residential target market. And so everything that a client or a potential client would see needed to say, that's what this company does. So that's what I did. And then I actually have subheadings under that that action plan. Update previous website with photos and descriptions of recently completed projects. So now I'm kind of talking about how I'm going to revise the website. B, update the online article called The Process of Architecture to match the current process. So I had an article on the website that people could download that described very specifically how Fivecat Studios process worked. And because we were changing it and we were updating the process, I needed to update that article and post it on the website. And then letter C is develop and add a frequently asked questions section to respond to client quote unquote pain points. So what are the things that clients ask you every interview? Every time they have a question, those questions that are asked at every interview are frequently asked questions. You can create a page on your website that answers those questions before they even meet you. And so you can educate your client and help them understand the process before they even meet you. So number two in lead generation, outsource the development of a printed brochure for distribution to target market by the end of Q2 2007. So I wanted to create this printed document that we would send out to clients. Back in 2006, that's what we're doing. Today, we don't do that at all. Today, we don't have any printed materials. Everything is digital and online. And then I had an office manager named Nicole. So I very specifically assigned this second brochure. So it says, the letter A is Mark and Nicole will research marketing firms specializing in small business and having experience with service firms, preferably experience with architectural or design firms. So we were not only going to develop this brochure, we were going to hire a marketing company to develop it for us. Never did it. Letter B, and that's also a very good lesson to learn. The plan is the plan, but the plans evolve. It gives you a structure to grow your company, but not everything in the plan is going to happen. It changes, your priorities change, your business environments change. And so you update your plan every year. So once you have this written, then every year you revisit it and you update it and revise it and it evolves. And the plan that we have today started with this plan that I'm talking about tonight. It started with all these topics and over time, many, probably a dozen rewrites. It's completely different today, but it all started here. So letter B in outsource the development of a printed brochure is obtain proposals from three marketing firms by the end of Q1 2007. Again, very specific deadline. Letter C, Nicole will prepare a mailing list of target market prospects by the end of Q2 2007. So now I'm focusing in on target market. So we were going to establish a mailing list of the people that we wanted to market our services to. And then a subheading to the letter C is current contact list. So names and addresses by zip code using the telephone directory, white pages. Isn't that funny? Actually, the white pages book back in 2007. Those are used now as doorstops. Number three of C is purchase mailing list for specific districts within a target market zip code. So you can actually go to the post office and you can get a mailing list of specific target market zip codes or addresses for specific zip codes. Direct mail and new brochure to target market by the mid Q3 2007. So we're going to develop this brochure and we're going to get the mailing list established. We're going to, and then we're going to mail it directly to our target market by mid Q3 2007. Okay, now number three, this is a new action plan for lead generation. Number three is Mark LePage will write three articles for publication in the local town magazines by the end of Q2 2007. That's something that I did do and was very, very useful and helpful in marketing Five Cat Studio, is getting out there and writing, getting in the publications that your target market read. And so we have a couple of magazines and newspapers locally here in Westchester County, New York, and I wrote some articles for that. So I have write about what to expect when working with a residential architect, quote unquote, or quote, codes to watch out for, or quote, what to do when you need a zoning variance. So those are the type of articles that I had in the action plan. So I'm getting very specific again. And number four, outsource the construction of lawn sign frames to increase stature of current lawn signs. Current signs are weak and convey a message of cheapness without painted wood frames. So we had, and still have, plastic lawn signs that we had printed up that look great, but because they're only, you know, plastic lawn signs, they didn't represent Five Cat Studio the way we wanted Five Cat Studio to be represented. So we had frames made for them that look great. We still use those today. Then I have Mark will prepare a drawing for distribution to woodworkers by Q1 2007, and Nicole will obtain quotes from three woodworkers by the end of Q1 2007. I ended up building them myself in my own workshop. Number five, start actively cultivating word of mouth by the end of Q4 2006. Quick drink. Okay, so how do we do that? Prepare photo books of complete construction process and gift to clients at the end of each project. So that was my action plan. And I did do that and often do that still with specific clients. Put together a photo book of the process, construction drawings before and after, and some great professional photography at the end. So they're reminded of what they had and the process they went through with you, and some great photographs of the space at the end. And what they do is they put it on their coffee table. And when their friends come over, they share it with their friends. And it has your big logo on the front of it and says, Five Cat Studio did this amazing project. And word of mouth happens. Those friends start talking to other friends. And those friends talk to other friends. And they have this great book. And they showed the photographs. And it's wonderful. And that's what happens with word of mouth. And so that was our plan. And we did do that. It worked very well. Number six, this is funny. Number six, start a web blog or a blog for fine residential design and construction and link the blog from fivecat.com. So this plan right here, which I haven't read since 2006, I'm reading it for the first time since 2000, in years, this original plan. It was before I started my first blog. My first blog was called Living Well in Westchester. It's still out there. If you Google it, it's still out there. I haven't updated in a couple of years since I've been focused on Entrepreneur Architect. That's where all my effort goes now. But I started that blog in 2006, and it was an action plan in this business plan. And it worked. That worked wonderfully. So if anybody's considering whether a blog works or not, trust me, blogs work. Clients read them. They get educated. They learn about you. They learn who you are. Anybody who's a regular reader of Entrepreneur Architect, you have a sense of who I am and what I do and the personality that I have. When you listen to the podcast, you kind of get a sense of who I am. Think about that from your client's point of view. If you can do that for a client and then you have an interview with that client, they already know who you are. They already have a feeling like you're their friend. It works really, really well. So I encourage everybody to start a blog. Number seven, network with Business Council of Westchester, starting in Q1 2007. So I joined the local Chamber of Commerce in Westchester County. It's called the Business Council of Westchester, and did some networking there, and distributed the brochure and we created a folder-based portfolio, printed portfolio that we shared there as well. Number eight, advertise in local luxury lifestyle magazines by the end of Q4 2008, something that we didn't do. Actually, letter A under eight is increased marketing budget to accommodate advertising costs. We didn't do that because it was expensive. At the time, we were also trying to, as I mentioned earlier, we're trying to raise our revenues and increase our profits. And that expense just wasn't going to work. Number 10, explore idea of local seminar series presented by Mark LePage and determine the benefits by Q4 of 2008. That's something that I think would work very well. It's not something that we ever did do, but certainly the seeds of Entrepreneur Architect are there. And when I wrote this, Entrepreneur Architect didn't exist. Entrepreneur Architect happened, I think it started in 2007 on LinkedIn, and the blog didn't start until later than that. So that was, and I'm not sure if those dates are right. I'll have to check those, but the seeds of the local seminar series and teaching other people what we do certainly were there in that plan for Entrepreneur Architect. So I'm going to take a quick break and then I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. We were talking about marketing action plans and we started with lead generation, and now we're going to get into lead conversion. I get quite a bit of feedback from the blog and on the podcast for information on how to find new projects and how to turn them into new contracts. And so here it is. I'm sharing my plan back in 2006. This is a plan that you can take, and these things will work. Many of them we took action on. Many of them we took action on and changed our mind because we did the research and decided that things weren't working for us. But all of these are ideas that you can use. You can take everything that I'm talking about in this podcast and take action on them yourself. And I know that they'll either succeed or they'll take you to your next step. So I encourage you to try some of these things. So now we'll get into lead conversion. So lead generation is to get clients to know who you are and give you a call. And lead generation is getting them to sign a contract and actually get a project. So number one under lead conversion is Mark LePage will develop a template for case study project sheets by the end of Q1 2007. A project sheet will be a single page printed in-house on demand and will include two photos and a brief description of the project and a client. So it's sort of like a one-page brochure on a very specific one project. And then B is Nicole will prepare project sheets for all completed projects by the end of Q2 2007. And upon completion of each project, Nicole will prepare a new project sheet. So what we did, and we don't do this anymore because we don't use printed material, but at the time, and this worked really, really well, is that when we prepared our proposals, we would have a folder and we would pull from our project sheets sort of a custom portfolio of projects that were specific to the projects we were going after for this client. So if this was a client that had a modern house and it was a family room addition, we would pull the projects that we did that were similar to that or that we would think that would appeal to this client. And so instead of sending them a generic brochure, we would send them very specific project sheets. It was very, very successful. Number two, Mark LePage will develop a folder-based portfolio for distribution to prospective clients during the client interview process by the end of Q1 2007. That is something that we still use today. We still use we're in the process of evolving out of that, but we still send printed portfolio, which basically, I'll have to do another podcast on that specifically, but we put our proposal in there, the hybrid proposal that we use today, entrearchitect.com/hybrid. You can purchase a course on how to prepare your own proposal, and I give you my templates. So a quick plug. But we put that proposal in the folder-based portfolio, and then we put project sheets and in the other folder. And so it comes as a really nice, it's a dark blue folder, glossy folder. We have a decal that we have our logo put on, that we put it on the folder. And then when they open it up, they have on one side the proposal and the other side project sheets. Very, very successful. It says the folder-based portfolio will contain relevant case study project sheets targeted to specific prospective client, a printed version of the process of architecture article that I talked about earlier, a printed version of the frequently asked questions, a business card, and a printed brochure. So that's what our folders would have. Number three, track lead source, website, mailed brochure, word of mouth, lawn sign. I wanted to know where these people were coming from, conversion time, and the closing statistics for each client interview. So we would track our success in the changes that we were making. This way we would know what worked and what didn't work. So that was the marketing action plan. The next item is an operations action plan. So now this was going internal into the company and what we were going to do to improve the success of Five Cat Studio. Operations action plan number one. By actively pursuing the marketing plan above, obtain contracts for 8 new residential additions and alteration projects, averaging $400,000 in construction costs by the end of Q4 2007. Remember, this is pre-recession. This was not, you know, this was shooting high and you know, sort of a lofty goal. But this was something that we actually accomplished. This, you know, they were today we're back in that environment where I am. We're very, very busy right now. And back in 2006, we were very busy. And this was the beginning of taking Five Cat to the next step. And so, the next couple of years before, you know, from 2006 to 2009, 2009 was our best year ever. Although this year, I think we're going to top 2009, because we have some very large projects that we're working on, and we reduced expenses, significantly when we went virtual. So that was, very successful in our current situation. I'll do that on another podcast. Number two, hire one additional project manager by the end of Q2 2007. So I'm looking to hire people at the time, to grow the company. Number three, establish strategic alliances with 5 general contractors or construction managers by the end of Q2 2007 in order to gain more control and efficiency during bidding and construction phases. A, company shall be pre-screened and pre-qualified, establishing an internal certified status ready for recommendation to clients. B, develop pre-screening forms to be used during initial telephone interviews. C, develop pre-qualification application to confirm qualifications of potential candidate firms during the in-studio interview. So we sort of, we didn't get this specific and this formal in our certification process, but over time we've done this, and I think a lot of architects do this with contractors that they work with very often. They sort of know who they want to work with. And what we were doing it proactively back in 2006 to create this list of contractors that we were comfortable recommending to our clients, and which makes our job easier when you're working with good client and good contractors. Number four, establish a strategic alliance with a residential construction cost estimator by the end of Q2 2007 and offer schematic design phase and design development phase estimates to new clients. That's something we do. We don't use an estimator. We use general contractors, but we do estimates on every job in schematic design. Number five, Nicole will complete the Five Cat Studio operations manual by Q2 2007. Operations manual is something that they talk about in the E-Myth, one of the things that make companies run smoother. And you build your systems and you document your systems in operations manual. That is something that we did. We had a draft operations manual that evolved and evolved. Today, our operations manuals haven't been updated in a long time. And so that's something that needs to be
probably put on my action plan for the next revision. A, Mark will meet with Nicole on a weekly basis to review progress and establish weekly goals. So being very proactive in getting this operations manual completed. And that is the end of my plan from 2006. So I started with my 15-year vision narrative. And then I got into the vision, or the unifying philosophy statement, the vision statement, the mission statement, the culture statement. Then we got into strategies, sort of broad stroke strategies on how you're going to get where you want to go. Goals and objectives. So you're getting more specific with deadlines. Then we get into action plans, and you actually assign those goals and objectives and actual action actions on how you accomplish those goals with specific people and specific deadlines. For one, I did one for marketing, and I did one for, and the marketing was broken up into lead generation and lead conversion. And then the last one was operations action plan. And that was the first business plan that we had completed. And there was actually one before this that was literally a one-page action, one-page business plan. And the one-page business plan is if you've gone through this process over and over again, and you've done what I've done and written 10 business plans and never finished one, here's what you need to do. Here's the action for this podcast. Take one sheet of paper and add your vision statement and all your goals and your mission statement. And that's your life plan. Start with that. Just do that. Vision statement, goals, mission statement. That's the beginning of your life plan. You can for your life plan, that what I described earlier is the business plan. The life plan, then you can do the same thing that I did for the business, is you create plans for each part of your life. You can have goals set for your career. You can set goals for your finances. You can set spiritual goals, family goals, physical goals, health goals, intellectual goals, social goals. You can set goals for all of those things and go through the same process that I described for the business for those other pieces of your life. And then you can bring them all together and integrate your business with your life. And you create this life plan. And that plan can be the plan that you use to, guide the rest of your life. And that too should evolve on an annual basis. You should review that and see where you are today and revise it as necessary. Your priorities will change. The environment around you will change. Your family will change. And that will allow you to have a structure on which you can accomplish the things you want to accomplish and create the life that you want to live. That you want to create, at the end of the day, you'll reach the goals that you want to achieve and live the life that you want to live. And so that's it. So my business plan, step by step, how you can create your own life plan, do the same thing for these other parts of your life, put them all together, and you have a life plan. But again, start with one sheet of paper, add your vision statement, your goals, your mission statement, and say, done. That's my vision. That's my one-page life plan. And then evolve from there. So there you have it. That's my step-by-step process on how to create your own business plan, sharing my own business plan for Five Cat Studio. Written back in December of 2006. I actually titled it Draft Business Plan for Five Cat Studio, and I have a quote on the cover of it. It says, "If you can dream it, you can do it. Always remember that this whole thing was started with a dream and a mouse." That's a quote from Walt Disney. Anne Marie and I actually had that painted on our walls when we first moved into our house here in Chappaqua. It's a good reminder that if you can dream it, you can do it. And if you write a plan, you can accomplish it. So go do it. Before I go, I want to just remind you to leave a review on iTunes. You can go to entrearchitect.com/iTunes and leave a review or a rating. I'd really, really appreciate it if you did that. And don't forget to complete the Entrepreneur Architect Business Trends Survey at entrearchitect.com/survey. That'll be very helpful and useful for me, as well as for you, because I'll share my results with you. And don't forget the architectbusinessplancompetition.com, architectbusinessplancompetition.com, and win 10 grand and a trip to Chicago right around the time of the AIA convention. It's all strategically planned to happen around the same time. So that's it. That's all I have for you this week. Until next time, my name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. Thanks so much for listening.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entre Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul, frequent flyer.
follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.